John chapter 14. I was going to say, that's either my daughter or somebody brought a pet guinea pig in here. John 14 and verse 1, let not your heart be troubled, and I'm looking at the wrong one. Forgive me for a second here. Yes, John, not John, Matthew, Matthew 14:1. See, it's the story of John the Baptist. So John. No? All right. I thought I would help. Matthew 14:1, at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. Now, we have been going through the New Testament chronologically. So that's where I'm going to stop it. Because this happens much earlier in the ministry of Christ than the actual beheading. John the Baptist sits in prison for quite some time, and there are many stories of going back and forth that we're going to cover before we actually get to the point where John is put to death. But it's important for us to stop what we're doing, to take a look at this, because, well, at this particular point in Jesus' ministry is when John is locked up in prison. And I tell you what, John's the first one to learn a lesson most preachers know today, and that is folks do not like it when you preach on marriage. And that's exactly what John was preaching on. That's exactly what John was saying. He says, hey, this marriage is unlawful. And the people didn't. And Herod didn't like it. And Herodias, she didn't like it. And she says, all right, well, honey, if you love me so much, you better put him in jail. And it was not out of respect for John the Baptist. It was not out of love for John the Baptist. It was not even justice for John the Baptist. It was fear. He didn't want a riot, so he couldn't kill him right then and there. So he locks him up in prison for a long period of time. This world and God's people, let's throw us in there as well, do not like it when you preach on marriage. Why? Because that's the place where so often we don't want to be judged. We don't want anybody looking at our marriages. We don't want anybody looking at our role within the marriage. What I may or may not be doing to my spouse. Am I a helper? Am I a herder? Am I a leader? Am I somebody who's abusive? We don't want to look at those things, much less do we want to hear them preached about from the Word of God. We look at it from a worldly perspective. They don't want the Bible to define what marriage is. I mean, you think about this. There was a time when blood would curdle if you talked about gay marriage in the United States. We would say, well, never. Now we've got all kinds of marriages. Right? I entertained myself for a good, well, I'm not going to tell you how long I entertained myself, but I was entertained. A little sad, but entertained. There was a woman by the name of Ada Berliner Maurer. Now, Berliner Maurer, and I'm butchering this. I'm not even going to pretend to have ever taken German. Berliner Maurer means the Berlin Wall. Now, why is her last name Berlin Wall? Because she had a marriage ceremony between her and the Berlin Wall. She changed her name legally. Now, she's very upset, obviously, that they demolished the Berlin Wall, but according to her, she's now been seriously seeing offense. Don't laugh at that. That's serious. She goes and she's got a fence that she goes and she visits. there was a lady who, in our industry, I never caught her name, but it was one of those stories that go around, that in order to avoid having to not bring her, or having to get rid of her cat, she had a cat in a no-pet building. In order to get around that, you know what she did? She married the cat. Oh, yeah. And you go to interview these people, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's a real marriage, it's a real marriage. A woman by the name of Tracy Amin married a large garden rock. There was a man, an unnamed man in Russia, who married a pizza. It was a short and unhealthy marriage. There was a man on record in America, married a My Little Pony stuffed toy. My personal favorite is one that just recently stepped into the news again, was a man who married a hologram. You guys know what a hologram is, right? It's just a little light show, right? He had a little tube and a light show, married her. Right? Just come home, hi honey, how are you? And the little robot and the thing would answer back like your Alexa does, right? It's got pre-programmed things, but there were rules. You couldn't answer a question too long or ask a question that was too long. And of course, there was no guarantee that she would answer the question, right? Because it was a pre-programmed AI. Well, the marriage, sadly, is having some communication issues in the form of the company that runs the software discontinued her software. Which means for the longest time he could look at her and she could not speak back to him. Which, for some, I'm going to get in trouble. But you understand, that is what constitutes nowadays. And honestly, we look at that and we point, but what are these marriages? And I know there would be many in the world that would say, oh, how disrespectful. The purpose of those marriages is to satisfy oneself. Am I right? The guy who married the pizza as some sort of a social indictment against marriage. The lady who married a rock did it because she wanted to believe that no matter what happened, somewhere out there, there would be someone or something that would always be there for her and nothing would ever happen because it was a big old rock. There are many people today that get married not out of love for the other, not because they want to build their lives with somebody, but because they want the wedding day. Because they want to be able to say that they did it. They want the ring on the finger. They want the pictures on the wall. They want to go through the ceremony. They want to be able to say that they did it. There are many that would sit there and they sign the paperwork and they say, look at what we have done. When many of you who have been married for any given period of time, you understand that that is not when the work is finished. That is when the work begins. They don't understand that. That marriage is two people becoming one, and as quickly as we would like that process to happen, it is in fact a slow process. Many marriages fail because they are built on selfish principles. We laugh at the people that marry My Little Ponies and they marry the robots in a tube, and we laugh at that, but there are many a person today that would marry just anybody. Why? Because I feel something. Well, again, I refer back to anybody who's been married for any given period of time. The warm, fuzzy, tingly feelings, they don't last forever, do they? No. The feelings, they come and they go. Love is a respect. Love is a desire. It's a preferment one over the other. Attitude of me putting you first, me caring for you, me sacrificing for you. That is what love is. What John is sitting there and he is preaching was, listen, and of course we've gone through this sermon before, we understand how incredibly weird this whole relationship was. John stands up, he says, that is not lawful. And it wasn't illegal for John to say so, other than the fact that it questioned a leader, and a leader can do whatever he wants. What we do when we stand for the things of God, we must stand using his principles. And though people might not like it, though we might not like it ourselves, we must use God's principles on who should get married. All through Scripture, we see very clearly it's male and female. Right? Nowadays, we can't even grasp those two terms. to be or to say that you're one of those two things is very bland, very dull, very tone deaf to what everybody else is doing. But that is indeed who the Bible says should be. Well, what does it say in the Bible that gay marriage shouldn't be in there? Well, it says in there a lot. Well, as a matter of fact, the Lord says that the act itself is an abomination. That when the marital act is participated in outside of marriage, it's wrong. It used in that context is an abomination to the Lord. Well, where does it say it in the New Testament? It doesn't have to. And by the way, it does. It says it in the Old Testament, says it in the New Testament. And if you think God changed his mind, went to a nice Roman college, and became indoctrinated in the turn of the centuries, he didn't. He didn't. God is not interested in keeping up with us. God wants us to keep up with him. And there will come a day where no matter what we believe, that's the God we stand in front of. That's the book that will be open. Right? So we see now who should participate in it. It should be male, female. It should not be man and man. It should not be man and horse. It should not be man and holographic robot tube thing. It should not be those things. Why? Because of the design God gave us. Right? God made man a certain way, with all of his strengths and all of his deficiencies. God made woman a certain way, with all of her strengths and all of her deficiencies. And we've all got kind of scatterblotted, right? We've all got different talents. We've all got different abilities. We're not all the same. Not all women are the same. Not all men are the same. We all kind of verge, right? We can't sit there and fall into stereotypes where I'm a man, so I'm a bad cook. I've met some great men who are amazing cooks. I've met some women who... they're not great at doing house chores and they're not great at cooking, but they're still phenomenally faithful women, right? Those are stereotypes. We don't fall into those stereotypes, right? You live in a house, you take care of the house. That's my opinion. That's how I feel about it. But we've all got our strengths. We've all got our weaknesses. For whatever reason, men are often weak where women are strong. And women often need help where men are strong. Just a wonderful thing that's like that. It's no coincidence. And again, this world is so hyped up on their stereotypes. I had somebody tell me, well, listen, I believe the way that I do. And yeah, it seems a bit like an overcorrection from the modern stereo, from the modern way or the old-fashioned way, sorry, the old-fashioned way of doing things. But we want to throw it off. We want to be, because we don't want to conform to that. Well, here's the thing. You can't use stereotypes to not conform to stereotypes, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to completely act like the opposite of what you want me to be. Well, if you don't, just throw away the stereotype. Go out there and fix your car, right? Throw away the stereotype. Get in there, start baking some banana bread. Really throw it off, right? You want to be a rebel against what your body was designed for. Put your head underwater, start breathing. Then you got my attention, man. You start flying, I'll come over. I'll buy tickets to that show. Well, the point I'm trying to get to is this, that God lays the standard. God equips us the way that we are. We are to keep relationships, keep marriage the way that it should be. We also see in there the phrase equally yoked. Equally yoked. I do believe that a saved person ought to marry a saved person, right? I tell you what, I've got nothing against. There are many mixed marriages where there's lost and there's saved. I've got nothing bad to say about it. I came from that kind of a home. I'm not here to pick on that. But if you have your choice, make it right. Well, you can't choose who you love. Well, actually, you can. You can. Right? We have the ability to choose what kind of future. Not just that, but what about spiritual strength? You've got somebody who's got a strong zeal for the Lord, and you've got another person who barely knows them and rejects a lot of things. Hey, this is not the proper time for you two to get married. There's some growth that should be here. Right, there's some things that should happen. I heard this one time, a pastor gave me this testimony of a young couple that had become pregnant. They were in high school, and the moms and the dads are in the room, and they're talking to the pastor, and everybody's like, well, pastor, what do you think? When should we schedule the wedding? Should we schedule the wedding before or after graduation? Pastor just kind of laughed. He goes, no. Don't schedule a wedding at all. Well, that's proper.
Is it?
Right? Are they equally yoked? Is there a reason for them to be married? Do they even like each other? No. There's work that must be done. Now, why is it that people rushed into marriages when one person would get in the family way? To try to hide it? Is that scriptural? It's not. Is it traditional? Sure. But is it? No. Now, I'd like to avoid a broken home as much as anybody else. You look into this guy who was down there doing the shooting, guess what he came from? Pretty broken home. Right? There was very little consistency in this kid's home. Proper breeding ground for this sort of behavior. I'm with you. But we must be equally yoked in things. We must be together on things. It's not very popular. It's not a very comfortable thing to have to preach. But it is, in fact, the truth. You open the door to multitudes of problems. We also wanted to see what, or we wanted to go on God's principles on what marriage should be. Marriage, as mentioned before, is the two becoming one flesh. It is two people becoming one. Right? There's always this battle, well, who is the bestest of them all? That's not it. Right? Well, who's the stronger? Who's the type A, type B? Who wears the pants in the marriage? Listen, I as the husband, I lead. But I'm an idiot if I don't sit there and listen to what my wife has to say. You understand? If we don't sit there, we don't discuss this out, I'm a fool. Right? Why would I shut down half my brain? Well, brother, you're not very tough if you don't. Really? Two becoming one flesh. It is my responsibility to lead? You better believe it is. But at the same token and under the same thought, we are one flesh. If I'm ever doing anything to prove that I'm more better than my spouse, there is something wrong. That marriage is going to have issues. If the wife is always sitting there finding ways to undermine and undercut the husband, there are issues. Right? Remember that phrase? There's two phrases I hate the most when it comes down to marriage, right? Two that I hate, one that I love. Right? Number one, happy wife, happy life. You're wrong. Because under that mode and operation, the man will always have to be subservient to the wife. He will be miserable. He'll have to get rid of his thoughts, his hopes, his dreams in order to make sure that she gets everything that she wants. Number two, man's home is his castle. Sir, you are no knight. What does that mean? She's nothing. She's subservient. She's little. She's underneath me. She's even lucky to be in the same bedroom as me. Now, again, it's the reverse. She's got to give up everything for him. That's not the way that goes. Is that what one flesh means? It is not. Right? Yes, it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband. It also says, husbands, submit yourselves to your wives. It also says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. And I've paid good, close attention to how much the Lord loved his church. What he did? He died for it. Spent 3 years of his life living rough for it. He sacrificed comfort and all the joys and splendors of heaven for his church. So men, that is the example we stand by. It is not the man is the king of the castle kind of mentality. Ladies, it is not happy wife, happy life. One flesh means we all go the same way. Right? I'll give you this example. Between moving and trying to get back to jogging and things and walking the dog as often as I have, I've got one leg, man, that's ready to go. Man, it works. I am ready to run on this thing. I could hop on this thing. I don't even need the other leg. And that's good because I've got the other leg. The knee is swollen. It hurts. Right? That's what happens when you got a fat guy walking on your knees. Talked to my doctor today. Got a brand new doctor. Talked to her. And she's asking questions. She goes, well, you got any aches, any pains? I go, well, this knee's pretty bad. And she goes, well, let's take a look at it. And I go, doc, I already know what you're saying. And I already know what the problem is. I go, I'm working on it. This is what I'm doing to work on it. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, that's wonderful, and we talk. But one works, one don't. You know what the problem is? Everywhere the right leg goes, the left leg has to go too. Everywhere where the husband wants to be, the wife should want to be as well. Everywhere where the wife wants to be, the husband wants to be. We communicate, we discuss, we talk things over. We come to mutual understandings. at the end of the day, the Lord's going to have an answer out of the husband how things went. So we understand the law of submission there. But as I said, there are two statements that I hate, one that I love. You already know the one that I love, right? The most powerful two little words in every relationship, shut up. Again, not words to say. I'm going to say that every time. Not words to say. Words to know what to do, how to do, and when to do it. Right? So, again, when we're sitting there throwing elbows in marriage, when we're sitting there trying to overdress the idea of marriage outside of the biblical parameters it gives us, we're messing up. When we try to make marriage anything other, like we've got people out there, well, marriage can be between three people, between four people. You are overhandling the situation, right? Two people in the marriage is enough, right? One other person in my marriage is difficult enough. I don't need to add a third. I can't be messing up with two people at the same time. Relationships don't go that way. Right? We are designed to fall within this. So it should be two becoming one flesh. It should be centered around a love for God and for each other. And folks, you need that. When we got married, we had this rope and it had three strands to it, or three different ropes of different colors. One represented me, one represented Danielle, one represented the Lord. And they were bound together. Why? Because without that third cord in that braid, we would fly apart. And I tell you what, if the Lord is not in your marriage, it does not matter how often you've walked through those doors. It does not matter how long you've remained married. Your marriage is not what it should be without that third cord. We need God in there. And we need to have a mutual love for God. It works a whole lot better when we are all on the same page with this. Right? I've seen those happen. Right? I grew up in that house. All right, well, we want to go up north up to the property. Yeah, but hun, the boys want to go to church. No, yeah, it's my house. We're going up to the property. Yeah, but I've been there. Right? I saw this growing up as well. Hey, listen, it's okay if the kids miss church for travel ball. And travel ball, well, it was Little League. It turned into, coach pitch, turned into travel ball, turned into two sports. And after a while, you've got kids that are sitting there in surgery by the age of 18 because they've blown out their shoulders and their arms. They graduate from high school and get out of church. Why? Because there was not a cohesiveness. There was a double standard. We were not consistent. Now, again, the Lord will save who he saves. The Lord won't save who he won't save. But we do not need to be a harder obstacle in that pairing. We don't need to mess it up. It's important for us to make sure that we love each other and we love the Lord. And we understand that marriage ought to be about giving, about loving, about focusing on the others. Do you understand the relationship there? There are many to say, I will get married and I will stay married as long as they make me happy, as long as they look the way I want them to look, as long as they treat me the way I want them to treat me, and the benefits fade, all of a sudden I want out of this marriage. Right? They talk about that. There are many stages in marriage. There is the when your children are young stage, when divorces happen a lot. Next jump in divorce happens when the kids leave the house. Why? Because we stopped loving each other. We poured all into the kids. Or dad poured all into work. Or mom poured all into her hobbies. And there was not enough love for each other. There wasn't enough stopping to make sure that we've got the date night going on. I tell you, for those of you that you're here and you're married, I don't care how old you are, you need date night. You do. Oh, brother, we're too old for that. No, you're not. Take your wife out. Wives, every now and then, when your husband comes in from the yard or wherever he goes out to, surprise him with something nice. Love each other. Care for each other. You know what? Every now and then, just take a vacation. Tell you what, I know that church attendance is important. I will never leave on that. But I tell you what, some of us, we're really bad at taking vacations. Anybody here, you're really bad at taking vacations? Take a vacation. Oh yeah, we were gone. We went for 10 days. We went for 12 days. We were all out together. We did this. We did that. Look at the pictures. Look at all the things. No, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Right? Take some time. Love each other. Spend time with each other. I know people that are so filled with activity, so filled with stuff to do, that the time they, before they even realize it, they are living in a house with complete strangers. They don't recognize their teenage children. They don't recognize each other as spouses. There is no love. There should be love. On a daily basis, sit there and say, do I love God the way that I should? And do I love my spouse? Am I giving into the Lord? Am I giving into? Now, when I say giving into, I don't mean like laying down like a mat. Like, but am I giving this marriage something? Am I putting something into this marriage? Am I putting something into this relationship with God? Because marriage is important. Marriage ought to be lawful. And in order for it to be lawful in God's eyes, it must involve the three. And here's the thing. If I love my wife the way that I should, my wife loves me the way she should, and we both love the Lord the way we should, you know the Lord will love us the way that He should, we're all taken care of. Oh, well, you just want, you know, I can't always be a giver. You want me to be a giver? Give, give, give. You love the Lord the way that you should. Spouses love the Lord the way that they should. And both spouses love each other the way that they should. And guess what? Everybody's going to be getting enough. Right? We want to make sure that love enters into it. And I tell you what, every now and then, I know we're Baptists, we're not supposed to talk about feelings, but we are talking about marriage, and feelings do come in there. Every now and then, you check in to see how they're feeling. And every now and then, you check to make sure they're doing okay. And you do something about it. Do something about it. You all right? There have been times I came home, I get the look from Danielle in her eyes. Right? You remember back when you were a kid? Right? You wait till your father comes home. Floored me when I got that. Matt, I told them just to wait till you get home. I go, oh, I wasn't ready for that. So yeah. You throw her out the door with some money because, you know, my wife, if I send her out, she won't do anything for herself. She'll drive around the block for a little bit. Right, put some money in her hand, tell her she can't come back with it. Get out of here. Right? And you sit there and you have a little family meeting without mom. Right? Hey, husband, how are you? You feeling okay? You doing all right? Well, I'll be honest with you, honey. I'm burning both ends of the candle here, and I'm about in the middle. Well, hey, I tell you what can I do? What do we need to do? What needs to happen? That's a lawful marriage. Why? Because that's loving each other. It's loving each other. Not strangers in two separate rooms. Not strangers in the same bed. Not strangers in different houses. People who are able to look at each other. Time with each other. Right? That's what it should be about. Right? That is what lawful marriage, godly marriage is. Again, we pick on what we don't like about marriage, and then we refuse to make sure that ours is the mirror said that it should be. We want it lawful. We got to do it God's way. Now, there comes a cost at speaking against it, but you got to speak against it. When things aren't going the way that they're supposed to, you've got to be the one to stand up and say something. From biblical perspective on what marriage is, we should know where to take a stand. And as I've said before, and I'll keep saying, we first take our stand on marriage in our own. That's where we take our stand. Next, once we know where to stand, we know what marriage should be, we know what it should look like, and we're imitating it, we're doing the best we can, we remain standing there. Well, but here's the thing. If I talk about that, that's not very popular. People won't like it. It's going to offend some folks. Yep. But it's more important that I let you know that you're offending God. And I can do this with all the love on earth. I really can. You don't have to be mean. I don't understand these people that get inches from each other's face, start screaming and waving their hands at each other. Ah! I don't get that. You speak the truth in love. I can do it in love and just be just as honest, be just as clear, but we stand on it. Well, who are you to say? It's not me saying. That's the beautiful thing. Who are you to say what marriage ought to be? Not me saying it. That's the fun thing. If it was me, I don't care. Keep it out of my yard. Keep it out of my area. I don't care. But the thing is that God does care. And me as his ambassador, I'm the warning sign. So I got to stand here. This is where the Lord put me. And this is what the Lord says. And I would rather you not come into my presence and not know if you're asked, especially if you ask me. It's so weird how often. You're a pastor? Yeah. And either they'll get quiet, they'll act like the holiest person you've ever met, or they'll start asking the weird questions. What do you think about marriage? Mine? It's all right. You know? Mine? It's only been 13 years. I'm on the trial series still, you know? Still stretching my legs. This kind of marriage, that kind of marriage, this kind of gender, that kind of gender. What do you think about that? Don't worry about what I think about it. You need to worry about what the Lord says about it, because I ain't got no power whatsoever. It's not what you'll be answering to. Don't worry about what I think. You need to be worried about what I know God has to say about it and what God's going to do about it. That's what you got to be concerned about. Right? People, well, I just have to let you know that me and my gay husband, we got married last week. I didn't even jump up a little bit. It's not about whether or not I care. It's not about whether or not it bothers me. I'm warning you. Warning you what God has to say. Well, yesterday I married my toaster. Sounds complicated. Hate to see what happens when the power goes out. Got some questions that I'm afraid to answer, that I'm afraid to ask, but, you know, like, what was on your registry then? You know, questions I've got. If you've already got the toaster, you married the toaster, what's on the registry? But, in all honesty, it's not about whether it bothers me. It don't. It's a warning. It's a warning cry. Bridge out. Don't go this way. You don't want to answer to God for that. You don't want to have to sit there and stand before him and sit there and say, hey, I led with my emotions. Hey, I led with my more basic instincts of myself. Hey, listen, I did whatever I felt in the second. You don't want to stand before the Lord with that as your justification. We cannot let our emotions decide for us. We cannot let societal norms tell us what is or is not okay. It is the Lord and the Lord only. Wonder how messed up society is? There were so many people proud this guy married the robot tube thing. Oh, that's just so progressive. That's just so wonderful. But you know what they ended up doing? They ended up tearing him down on Twitter. Oh, yeah, Twitter got him. Twitter got him. You know why Twitter got him? Because the character he married is a cartoon. And in the cartoon, she's 16 years old, so that's inappropriate. I'll just let that marinate for a second. That's where we are. Well, she plays a 16-year-old. She doesn't play a 16-year-old. She's a cartoon. She's ink and she's paint. Well, right now she's buzzy little lights. Well, even right now she's not even that because it discontinued her. Like, that's what it is. And we got to sit there and we got to say, well, in order to be compassionate, in order to be loving, in order to be acceptable, I got to say that that's fine. Up until I find out that the fictional character is a 16-year-old girl, then I can pull the boots out on this guy. We're drawing lines in weird places, folks. Now, I'm fine with that line. But man, I think that line ought to be over here. Over here, that is a robot. Right? That is some flickering lights and a computer program. One of those, man, what are you doing? We can't let society dictate because society doesn't know what to do with stuff anymore. They don't know basic understanding of definitions of biology anymore. Well, who are you to say it's right? Again, it's not me. It's the one who made me. It's the one who made you. We got to know where to stand, and we got to stand there regardless of who's trying to move us, regardless of who doesn't like it. Now, again, don't get ugly. Don't get mean. But do you stand? Do the stand. Don't be moved. And we also have to know that there will be consequences. Hey, listen, man, you stand up against the wrong kind of marriage, and there's gonna be some people unfollow you on Facebook. Don't worry, you'll live. There's going to be some people tweeting mean things about you. There's going to be some family members who got some ugly stuff to say. There's going to be some folks that invite you to the wedding. There's going to be folks that don't send your Christmas cards. There's going to be folks that scoff at you and roll their eyes at you. There's going to be some negative stuff on it, but you are a warning sign. As much as you are a loved one to them, as much as you are a participant in the society, we still have to do the job of the warning sign. There's going to be some backlash. John, I mean, you can't put your finger in the nose of Herod and not expect some trouble. But John knew one thing. My job is the truth. Right? Now, I don't know what context. Did John say this at dinner? Did John say this in the street corner? Was John talking about this in a sermon among the disciples that were following him? Did John get up in the courts of Herod and literally put his finger in his nose? I do not know. All I know is this, is that when that subject came up, John had the right answer. It's what it is. Right? Now, was he mean? Was he friendly? Was he pleading? Was he with all the care, love, and compassion in the world telling him the truth? I don't know. But it came down to a matter of the truth, and he spoke it. You ever hear some of these million-dollar mega church franchises out there? You get these guys on television, and they ask them about homosexuality, they ask them about what marriage is, they ask them about divorce, they ask them about these things, and what do you hear? Well, you know, people who make millions of dollars on a Sunday, brilliant, eloquent speakers, fumbling over their own lips and tongue, trying to answer a question they know the answer to. Now, I pick on those guys. They wouldn't know the Bible from the Reader's Digest. Right? We do know the Bible. We ought to be able to do better. We ought to be able to do better. Why? Because we know better. We understand what it says. Now again, we're not just talking about the worldly version of marriage. We're talking about our own version of marriage. Right? The most Baptist of the Baptists sitting together, not able to sit there and meet eye to eye on something. Why? Because me over you. It's got to be, one of us has to be the dominant one. Right? Submission has nothing to do with one of them being intelligent, the other one being dumb. Has nothing to do with one of them being righteous and the other one being barely able to form sentences. We need to have the proper mode and operation in our marriages. Now we go back to the idea of how do I take this stand on what a lawful, what a godly marriage is. How do I take this stand when it comes down to the area of being unequally yoked? What happens if one, a little bit more spiritually responsible, a little bit more spiritually eager than the other one, what if one is still learning or refuses to learn? Men, that's often us, by the way. It's often us who are the ones that barely grasp Bible knowledge. It's normally us who are not leading in that area. Can I tell you this, gentlemen? I don't care if you're married, unmarried, if you've got family right now, they're in their 50s. You better be a really good role model. Because I know some 50-year-olds who need good role models. Right? I do. If those kids get out of church and they run out of here, you know what? That's going to break my heart. But I'll tell you this. If they walk out without having heard, learned, and been taught and trained in the scriptures, that's my failure. If there's issues in scriptural knowledge and scriptural following in my house, guess who it lands on? Because the Lord put, I'm the leader. Lead your family. Oh, well, you know, it's just hard. You know, we got busy. You know, the kids are doing their thing. I got my thing. And, you know, my wife never really, you know, I've never really been good at doing devotions. And No. That's your calling. God does not call who he does not equip. I don't care how dumb you think you are. You got a responsibility. Well, brother, my kids are far out of the house. Your spouse still in the house? Yep. Good. You get to get into those deep devotions now. Get to work on stuff. Right? We need that time. If we want marriage to be lawful outside in the world, we're going to be holding our breath for a while, because we're seeing some weird stuff now. We're going to continue to see some weird stuff. Weird stuff's not going anywhere. Your responsibility is not to be out there the captain of ending the weird stuff. Your job is to preach the truth out there. Yeah, no, this is what it is, but it's supposed to be. You're the road sign, right? But we're supposed to practice it in our homes. It is awkward when we stand there barking about what marriage should be out there, but we're not doing it in our own homes. And it's even more, it's equally awkward when we're practicing it in our own homes. We won't say a lick about it out there in the world. Balance. We got to be able to do both. Collect in the four walls of our home and back up what we're saying out there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as John gives us this example, Father, we are grateful. We're thankful for what it is that he stood up for. And Lord, I'm sure he saw stuff like we saw today. Who knows, Lord, what kind of weirdness and relationships where we're going on even before we were able to put pen to paper. But Lord, I ask this, that you help us in our marriages. You help us take a stand for your version of marriage today, that Father, we may hold the truth for as long as we are here, and that it is not lost on the future generations with internet and peer pressure and society and what's going on out in this world. Lord, help us to hold true to your word and not change on it. For its name of Jesus we pray, amen.